Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever time of day or night you are listening into the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Welcome to the show today here on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial, broadcasting out of Brookings, Oregon. Brookings Harbor, the gateway of the great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S., home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet, as I'm sure you're going to discover today with our guests. Where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea, Harbor Brookings is home to me. We're here in this wonderful place in the world, and we're going to talk about cars today. We're going to talk about Curry County Cruisers specifically. We're going to talk about events. We're going to talk about ways that you can get involved. And you know that's part of what we do here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, is talk about how you can get involved in your community, how you can make a difference, how you can raise your hand, say, how may I serve, and help in some way to be of service to others in your community. And that's exactly what the Curry Cruisers do. So I'd like to welcome to the studio today Curtis Wogelmuth, who is the president of the board of directors, and Mike King, his vice president. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hi, good morning. How are you? Thank you very much.
Good. I'm so glad to have you here. Curtis, how did you get involved with the Curry County Cruisers, and how long have you been part of the organization?
I've been part of the organization since 2013, to my records that I looked up last night, actually. I met a few of the members that were new members and new people to this town at that time. They had just joined the club. They had 3 to 5 cars themselves, Patsy and Jim Haggerty, nice, the past president and his wife. I met them and talked with them briefly, and a few months later, I would meet them again at the Azalea Festival Car Show in 2013. I have since built a relationship with them and the Cruisers. I joined the club that year, at that car show. I saw what they were doing, and I was just wanted to be part of it. They do a lot for the community. They spoke a lot about their sponsors, and then more importantly, what they do with the monies that they raise at their events, and that is to give it back to the community, to nonprofits, and those in need within our community and the surrounding county.
I love that part, that whatever monies they raise, they're giving back into the community. They're giving it back into people's lives to make a difference. Can you talk a little bit about how much, well, let's back up. Let me back up for a second and say, I realize that upcoming Memorial Day weekend in 2019, the Curry County Cruisers are having a car show right here at the Port of Brookings Harbor. Is that right?
That's correct.
And yeah. How many people do you anticipate both to register? So how many cars are going to participate, and how many people do you think will come through that event?
We anticipate 200. We've received an average of 170 the past 5 years. And we're expecting it to be a little bit more this year. We always anticipate more. Each year, it seems to get a little bit better. The crowds, the variety of cars, and just the participation all together. And as a matter of fact, we usually gather a few more new members every year at the show.
So you'll have over 100 cars. What are some of the cars you think people are going to be interested to see? I mean, I think probably all the cars are going to be cool. But do you have any personal favorites that are coming on to the show?
Well, I like the Tri-5 Chevys. I like the 55, 56, and 57 Chevys. There's a place in my heart for those. My family owned one a long time ago, and I just like them. I like the shape of them. I always have.
The colors are cool, too.
No, the colors are awesome. The paint jobs are awesome. I love photographing them.
It's one of my fun things to do. You know, a couple of years ago, I showed a car in the car show, and it was a Volkswagen. And I actually sold it from the car show. It was one of those things like somebody called me and said, hey, you want to sell your car? I was like, well, I guess. Yeah, sure. I was willing to sell it. It had a for sale sign on it. But the interesting thing about a Volkswagen, and I wonder if this is true about Chevys too, every time someone looks at a Volkswagen, they say, oh, first question always is, what year is it, right? And then as soon as you say it's a 1962, the next word guaranteed out of their mouth is I had one when I was a kid. I used to ride in one. I went to school every day with my mom. And it was always so fun because people have such a personal connection with their cars. Now, Mike, I know you're a car guy.
I am.
You're a car guy. It's fun. Do you like cars to go fast? Do you like them to go? What's your deal with cars? And how long have you been into cars?
I've been into cars since I was a little kid. I like them to go fast. I like them to look good. I really like the cars that have the smooth, flowing body lines.
Oh, the beautiful lines.
The old Triumph TR3s.
Yes.
And the Gazelles. And
oh, yeah. I love Gazelles.
Camaros, Firebirds.
All of those. What was the first car you had?
My first car was a Mazda RX-3.
Rotary engine?
It had a rotary engine, yes.
That's so great. What color was it?
It was a ugly green.
Ugly green. When you see those, do you ever see those cars on the road anymore? Are they still around?
I haven't seen another RX-3 in 20 years.
Wow. Isn't it weird? You know, you're a young guy driving your RX-3, your little rotary engine, you're all cool and everything, and now that car is probably a classic somewhere.
Right.
You know, worth a lot of money.
No, I don't think they're ever going to be worth anything.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What happened with the rotary engine technology? Did it sort of just come and go? Was it a...
No, and it continued on through the RX-8.
So for a few years.
They stopped producing in 2009, I think.
Oh my gosh, so it had a long
They were supposed
lifespan.
To bring it back.
No kidding.
That's correct.
That's awesome.
It's a interesting engine because there are fewer moving parts. It just spins instead of moving up and
up
down.
Up and down and all the pistons and all of that.
Right.
Yeah. Is that kind of a single piston concept, if you will?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, huh?
Actually, the new ones had dual rotors.
Okay.
So there were two pistons.
Two pistons, right. So how did you get involved with Curry County Cruisers?
I've always been a car guy.
Yeah.
And recently I bought a Camaro. I wanted to show it off.
Fun.
So I put it in the show and joined the club. And now my mission is to bring new people into the club, the younger demographic, because the baby boomers are, their health is failing and they're not going to be able to continue forever.
Right. You got to bring up a new crop of people if you want to keep an organization going, right?
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do, for sure. I happened to see your Camaro the other day, and I got to tell you, it's smoking hot. It's beautiful.
You'll see it all over town.
It's my daily
driver, so I drive it a lot.
That's fantastic. Now, Mike, I'm curious to know, Curtis talked about being drawn to the idea of giving back into the community. Can you talk a little bit about some of the organizations, or just name a few of the organizations, or either of you gentlemen, name some of the organizations that have benefited from Curry County Cruisers over the years?
We give back to whoever the members of the club want to give to.
I love that. So there's just a decision that gets made. Like the group comes together and says, we're going to raise X number of dollars. And then somebody raises their hand and says, I'd like to give it to Coastline Neighbors, for example.
That's correct.
That's awesome.
Also, the members, at the meeting, we go through and say, we've given this much to this group and this much to that group. Do we want to continue to do that? Are there any new groups that we think should get some money?
Oh, my gosh.
Our fundraising efforts.
Right, because over the course of a year, things may have changed in towns. Priorities may have changed. In fact, Curtis, we spoke recently about the food bank being one of the recipients. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the food bank is an ongoing. They're one of our main recipients. It's an all-year-round thing with the food bank, as opposed to the end-of-the-year giving that we take all our money that's left over after we paid all our fees and you know, everything that we have to pay for, all that money that's left over, we pick some in different ones. But with the food bank, it's almost a weekly occurrence during the summer from May through September.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a Wednesday night cruise in.
And tell what them we more do, about that. What does a Wednesday night cruise in mean?
With the cruise in, we pick 5 different venues and we go to that venue Wednesday evenings, May through September, a different one each month, and we basically just bring our cars, all the members, and then anybody in the community or that's passing through our town even can come along, pull in, and talk cars. And we sit and talk cars. And what we do back to the food bank is we have a crate that we bring to every cruise in, every event, every meeting that we have. We bring this crate, and it has a sign on it that says food donations mm-hmm. for non-perishable items. Mm-hmm. And we take that food, we give it to the food bank on the following day or the couple days later. And we do that, as I said, every event we do, we bring that with us and we bring that to them. We also, if people forget to bring food, which when I've forgotten many times, and just put a couple dollars into a jug that we have that's marked donations, and all that money goes to the food bank, and then they can use that money to buy food themselves or mm-hmm. things that they need for mm-hmm. the food bank. Mm-hmm. And so over the course of since 2010, we have raised and distributed over $52,000 as a club.
That's amazing.
And given it to different various organizations, including but not limited to the food bank, the women's shelter in Gold Beach, the Cape Farillo Volunteer Fire Department, the Winchuck Volunteer Fire Department, the Harbor Fire District Department, and also the animal shelters, mm-hmm. both the Humane Society and the dog and cat animal shelter up in Gold Beach as well. Then we also give to the flag program that the Boy Scouts put on. Mm. And when you see the flags in town
yes.
on holidays,
yes, they
the
line
Boy
the
Scouts
bridges.
Are now in charge of that.
Nice.
Before, for the last couple of years before that, it was actually the VVA that was doing that, mm-hmm. the Vietnam Veterans mm-hmm. of America, mm-hmm. which I'm also a member of. An associate member of that organization. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do with the monies. We give it to those different organizations, and the food bank is one of our main recipients, as I said. They do a lot for our community. Fortunately, I haven't had to have firsthand experience with needing to get something from them.
Yes.
But I'm always willing to give to people that are willing to give.
I love to hear that, and I especially love the food bank action. Do you know, knowing that during May through September, these five venues, you're coming together weekly, that's a lot of food at the end of the year. You know, that's tonnage at the end of the year or
yes.
at the end of your period of time that you're doing this. And to have given $52,000 to various organizations, the food bank, the shelters, the women's shelter, the fire departments, the animal organizations, it makes such a difference. I am such a believer that a community, you know, we all want to fix the world, right? Everybody wants to save the world, fix the world, help the world, save the whales, you know, all that.
Absolutely.
It starts at home. It starts at home. It has to start in our own communities with our own heart, looking out to our neighbor, literally, and saying, hey, neighbor, how you doing? How can I help you? And we all sort of want to stumble over that, like, well, my neighbor's a jerk or whatever. You don't know my neighbor. Like, no, your neighbor's another human being, right? And that's what I love about Curry County Cruisers is you're literally reaching out in the local area, in this community, to serve neighbors right here and to make a difference. I love that. When I think about the foods that are going to the food bank, you know, I love that there's people that are hungry that are getting cans of tuna and jars of peanut butter and beans and pastas and soaps and all kinds of things that they can take care of to feed their families, to help their bodies be cleaner, to do whatever it takes to feel hygienic and to feel healthy. I mean, if you don't feel healthy, health is wealth, right?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Absolutely.
Now, Mike, I want to know, what can people expect when they go to the car show? What is it just like I'm going to walk around in the hot sun and look at cars, or is there more to it?
Well, of course you can walk around and look at cars, but you can also talk to the people who own the cars.
Yes.
And they will tell you about their favorite thing about their car.
Yes.
Or why they decided to have this car to fix up and to show, and It's an emotional connection that they have with their car.
Isn't that amazing? People do love their cars.
They do.
Yeah, they
absolutely
do. We all do, right? Everybody loves their car. And when you get that car, suddenly you see more Camaros around town now than that you have your Camaro?
A few.
Yeah, I get it. I understand that. So is there music? Are there games? Can people judge the cars? Can they vote? What are some of the other activities they can do?
With this car show, there's people's choice. They get to vote on which car they want to win the whole thing.
Does it cost them anything to do that?
It does not.
It doesn't. Okay, cool. So they just get to come in, get a ballot or a ticket or something and vote on a choice.
That's correct.
Nice.
We also have an independent panel of judges that are not affiliated with the club.
Just to put it on the record, I get to judge this year and I'm excited about it.
Yes, yes, and we're excited to have you volunteer and be part of that process, because without people like yourself, what we've had happen in the past is, believe it or not, we've been accused of stuffing the ballot.
Oh, come on.
Well, when you have a high percentage of the cars that are at the show are from the club, and they're winning
right.
awards,
right.
and you've got the same people judging, that doesn't go well. So we don't use none of our members are allowed to judge. We have independent judges that we ask to volunteer from various organizations within this community and the neighboring communities down in Crescent City, California.
Yes.
All the way up to Gold Beach. And we have them come in and they vote on different criteria that is determined by a list of criteria that they're given when they come. And we also encourage suggestions, comments, and ways that we can make our show better. And of course, we appreciate compliments, but I think it's more important that people tell us what they didn't like or what they would like to see rather than what they saw and how they felt about that. So,
is there music?
Oh, there's going to be live music
this year.
There's
going to be live music. Okay.
We don't have it every year, but this is our 25th anniversary for this car show.
This is a big deal.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely it is. And we have a beautiful 1969 Chevelle that won Best of Show last year. And each year, the Best of Show from that year goes on next year's awards and t-shirts and hoodies that are for sale and that, of course, are given to the winners of the different classes of vehicles.
That's pretty exciting.
So it's pretty prestigious. And we're very happy to have the Best of Shows from the previous year come back to the show the next year and be willing to do that, because the last 2 years, they've both been from Eugene. And as a matter of fact, cars were painted at the same place. There's a little bit to that. And so we...
that might tell you why they look so great.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But they're just, you know, last year it was a 1957 Cadillac.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So
every the cars year last year were phenomenal.
Oh, yes.
They were beautiful.
Awesome.
There was one car. I can't remember what kind of car it was. I mean, I'm a car person, but like today cars, you know, old cars, I don't really get it. But it was some kind of old car and it had all these... like drawers that pulled out of it. It was a super old, like a touring car. Didn't even have a top on it. I don't think there was a top on it. It was like, I could just imagine little ladies in their little long skirts and their little umbrellas and their hats, you know, tootling along down the road. But there was like a drawer that pulled out for your golf clubs. I was like, that's awesome. Do you remember that car, Mike?
Well, I do. It actually belongs to one of our members. It's an old Rolls Royce.
Yes, it is. Oh my gosh.
It's a boat tail.
What does that mean?
It means that the rear end comes to a point like a boat.
Yeah, right. That's right. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's exciting. Now, I know there's a couple of electric cars that are going to show this year.
That's correct.
Which I'm Teslas. Excited about that. Yeah, a couple Teslas. Have the original models of electric cars, I can't remember who came out with the very first electric car. It was a Honda, I think, right? Honda
I
came out.
I believe so.
Yeah. And they were real weird looking. They had all these weird skirting. And it was like, yeah, I can go 7 miles without a charge. I think it was 75, actually. I'm being facetious. Yeah. But
Actually, I think the first electric car was built in the 1800s.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. Yeah, come on. Let's go way back. Yeah, that's true. That's probably really true. So
they squashed it for a while, from what I understand.
Yeah, I kind of understand
that too.
The industry did. Yeah, we'll probably talk later on in another segment about electric cars and about the future of electric cars. Yeah, because I think it's important to see where's auto technology going. In fact, there's this whole thing. I mean, this is totally off subject, but it's interesting. When I was in college, I had a fairly radical professor in my sociology class, and he said, well, you do know that Goodyear, back in the day, in the early, I don't know, as stuff was starting to be built out in Los Angeles, there was a rapid transit system in LA. And Goodyear Rubber Company bought the rapid transit system and dismantled it so that they could sell tires. Do you know about that, Curtis? Have you heard about that?
I didn't know about it, but it does not surprise me. We are a very industrious country.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I say that only because it would have been nice to see some of those things furthered early on in their existence rather than waiting till nowadays, like the electric car, for instance.
Right.
But the fact is that, yeah, that I heard something about that, and I also heard about the oil industry also was instrumental in those decisions also, as well as with the electric car.
Yeah, that just, it's a bummer, you know. Think about climate change and where we're at, and I can't help it. It doesn't matter if I'm talking about nutrition or science or senior citizens. Climate change comes into every single conversation I have. It's so important, and you know, we have to do everything that we can to eliminate single-use plastics and to do a better job shepherding and stewarding our precious earth that we have, of course.
Absolutely.
So I personally love electric car technology. So back to the car show, couple questions that I'd love to ask. What's the difference between a car show and a show and shine? What is that?
A car show is judged, and a show and shine is just to show off the cars.
Okay.
No one's judging them. There are no awards given out.
No cost to enter, no awards given out. Just go and admire the beauty of the cars.
Generally
speaking.
No awards given out. Sometimes there are.
Sometimes there are.
We have an informal show and shine at the Seaview Senior Center.
Yes.
Actually, or living community.
Yeah. And on that particular one, the residents will pick their favorite car.
Oh, that is very sweet.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's protocol. Proper protocol at a car show not to touch the cars. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Generally, you'll see a lot of signs that say, please do not touch.
Yeah. Because you don't want to like swipe your finger down the soft paint job and like inadvertently make a scratch with dust or something, right? Is that kind of the idea?
Well, these cars, people have put a lot of their own time and money into them and care.
Yes.
And they would not like to see someone inadvertently
mess up their car. Yeah. Well, it's your baby. I think about your beautiful Camaro. It is a stunning car. It's gorgeous. Yeah, that's your baby, you know?
Right.
You know, if you come out there and somebody's touching you, you're like, get off my car.
As he said, it's his daily driver.
It's his daily driver.
So some people have what they call trailer dollies. And so they don't actually drive their vehicles. They're so valuable to them.
Yes.
Or they're so rare that to drive them is not a good decision in most people's eyes. Some people feel that if you've got a car, you should drive it. My aunt is one of those. She's got a 1946 Buick, for instance.
Wow.
It's a convertible. She's going to drive it up from Pacifica, California
to our show.
Yes.
Fun. So I'm going to get to meet your aunt?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
You'll see her car. It's been on the GM calendar several times. It's a very well-known vehicle.
It's a well-known vehicle.
Yeah, and she drives it all the time.
That's fantastic. Yeah. If you've just joined us here on KCIW FM 100.7 on your radio dial or on the podcast anywhere in the world at any time of day, welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. My guests today are Curtis Wogelmuth and Mike King with the Curry County Cruisers Organization. And thank you, first of all, gentlemen, both of you, for stepping up and saying, how may I serve in my community? It makes a big difference. When you talk about $52,000 donated in our local community, that's big bucks. You know, that's nothing little. That's a lot of money. And for an organization to get a check for $500 or $1,500, and ultimately this $52,000 that your members have helped raise makes a difference. So for that, I'm very, very thankful and appreciative. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. It's our pleasure. And it's not us. It's not just a club.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the community and the people that come to our city and to our shows and to different, just come through the city sometimes and visit us because they're into cars or whatever.
Right.
They'll donate. They're not even part of our community, but they're into supporting the communities that they're going through.
Isn't that great? And what are some of the businesses that are affiliated or sponsoring this year's 25th anniversary car show?
Oh, we have Darren Farmer State Farm Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We have O'Reilly's Auto Parts, which is our main sponsor for the show. We also have several other smaller businesses, Whale's Tail Candy and Gifts in Harbor,
mm-hmm.
and Wild Rivers Pizza,
mm-hmm.
The Spot. Oh gosh, there's so many, but just about every one of them that we solicit for donations, either in the form of money or in raffle prizes mm-hmm. for a raffle at the mm-hmm. show.
They step up.
They step up every year.
Isn't that great?
Every year after year. And just as we have people that come to the show that do the same thing, they come year after year. We, you know,
I love it.
We don't even have to mail out. Some of them are calling us and going, hey,
hey, are you
going to
ask me
show?
This year? Yeah.
Yeah.
I had an instance recently where I gave a pretty hefty donation to an organization, and then the year thing came around and the same event came around, and I didn't even get a phone call or anything. And I was like, I'm not going to call them and say, hey, I've got my check ready. I gave the money to somebody else, you know? So I appreciate that. But I also appreciate when organizations are, you know, stepping forward and asking. Most people don't realize the importance and the value of that three-letter word, ask. It's important, right?
It is.
Actually.
It is, yeah. And then I think people want to be thanked afterward, of course, too. So, okay, so the event is on this coming 26th of May, right here in our community, right? And it is, let's see, it's on the 26th of May, right here in our community. What are the hours of the car show?
Your show goes from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.,
uh-huh.
At which time we start to disperse and give out the awards.
Okay.
So and 8 to 3.
Where is it for people who might not know exactly? I mean, I'm assuming most people that are listening are going to be locals and they're going to know. But if you're from Eureka and you don't know where our port is.
If you're coming from the south, you're going to come to, you're going to come into our town. And before you cross the Chetco River.
Yes.
You're going to go down and underneath that overpass
underneath that
and
bridge.
Along the what is Harbor Road, Lower Harbor Road, and you'll see if you look off to your left and you're going across the bridge and you see
you
a bunch of boats,
too far.
You went too far, turn around, come down onto that frontage road, Lower Harbor Road.
Okay, so it's just
it's in
the port of Brookings Harbor.
Absolutely.
Not so hard to find if you can just look for the signs for that. That's fantastic. Well, I appreciate it, guys. So again, there are some Wednesday night cruise-ins. You want to talk about the Wednesday night cruise-ins? Give people a sense of where they can find you May through September over the coming few months.
Okay, great. Yeah, in May, we chose our flagship sponsor for this year's Azalea Festival Car Show, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. I do not have their address, but most of those of you who live in town well, find it. It's not too hard to find. They're the newest auto parts store in town.
Up on the north end of town.
They are on the north end of town, just as you're heading north out of town. And then, and that's in May, every Wednesday evening from 6 to 8. In June, we will move to Wild River Pizza, which is at the south end of town. And they, as I said about O'Reilly's, most people know where they're at. You'll see them on the right-hand side of the road heading north.
Okay.
If you're coming on Highway 101 in July, Les Schwab Tires, which is in the middle of town. And in August, we'll be at the Spot Restaurant and Sushi Lounge. And they are located just at the south end of town as well, but on the left-hand side if you're heading north.
Mm-hmm.
They're across the street from the dollar store and the
grocery outlet. Yes.
The last place that we're going to be having our cruise-ins at is going to be the newly remodeled Dairy Queen here in Brookings. Just after you cross the bridge coming into town from the south, you will find them on your left-hand side.
Great.
They have a brand new building that is almost done. I understand they're going to be moving the equipment into the new building, out of the old building, and demolishing it starting next week.
Wow.
So
that's
exciting for us. And we support Bart and Linda. Bart is also, he's the owner of the Dairy Queen, he and his wife, Linda. And they are also members of our car club as well.
That's fantastic. Now, again, you guys talked about, well, two things. First of all, it's kind of a cruise-in. It's a get-together. It's sort of a show and shine, right? People are going to come and chat their cars and... So, like, if you're just driving by, do you have to have a cool car to stop?
You do not.
Absolutely
you do not. Okay. B, do you have to know anything about cars to participate?
Absolutely
not at all.
If you just want to get to know some nice people
right.
that
Absolutely.
Have an interest. Okay. That's awesome. And if you do want to come by at each of these events, May through September, whether it's at O'Reilly's or it's at the Dairy Queen or Whale's Tail or we didn't say Whale's Tail, Wild River Pizza, wherever you stop by at Les Schwab or The Spot or any of those places, bring some food, right, for the food
bring
bank?
Bring some canned
that
food
would be
for the
great.
Food bank. Absolutely. That's a great suggestion.
That's a great suggestion. I mean, you guys...
It's not required, but we do suggest it.
It's a lovely
it, and
thing.
We do, and we know that the community appreciates it
yes,
as well.
Yes. I think that's lovely. You know, another way... I mean, I want to think about this $52,000 that you guys have donated, and that's just since 2010, right? We're only going back 9 years. That's just 2010. This organization is decades old. it's been helping for a long, long time. But when I think about the food bank and it being one of your current important partners, you know, last year we had a federal government shutdown, didn't we? And there
were a lot
of folks right here in our area that were really affected by that. And the food bank really needed to be leaned on. And I noticed at the time, this was so cool. Fred Meyer started asking, every time I went through the line, would you like to round up? And I every time said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now I say yes every time. And now if this is one of those moments where like yesterday, they didn't ask me, do you want to round up? I said, and could we round that up? So my goal is just round it up every time. And then someone said, oh, you know, you can round up like add $25 too. You could just like round up big if you want to. So there's a lot of ways to help in the community. The Curry County Cruisers is one of them. Gentlemen, thank you for being here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour on KCIW. Really appreciate you taking time out of your day, out of your busy week, and out of your life, not only to come into the studio and to visit, but to share your passion, what you do with the people here in our community and how you serve and how you help. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Misty.
Of course.
Thank you for having us.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you think the listeners would like to know, or is there any topic you'd like to discuss?
There is. Anybody can join the club.
Thank you.
If you are into cars, we would love to have you.
And how do they find out about the club? Where can they get more information?
Well, you can find us online at currycountycruisers.com.
Nice.
Or you can stop by one of our Wednesday evening in the summer. We're there from 6 to 8, and any of us will be more than happy to talk to anyone.
Or you can call me from 9 to 5. I am the president of the club, and you can call me at my home at 541-469-9683. I just ask that you be respectful and don't call too early or too late.
Midnight calls not appreciated.
Yeah, I will answer them.
You know what? I really appreciate that. That has happened so many times on this show where people come on and they literally give their home or their cell number. And
absolutely.
This is what's beautiful about living in a small town. So again, if you want to participate any Wednesday night, all during the month of May at O'Reilly Auto Parts right here in Brookings, during June in Harbor Wild River Pizza, July Les Schwab right here in downtown, August The Spot right over in Harbor, and in September at Dairy Queen. Bring a little food for the food bank, support the Curry County Cruisers, support your hometown right here in Brookings Harbor. I don't know, it's kind of fun and exciting.
It's an exciting time to be a car person.
Yes.
1,000 horsepower cars, street legal.
Yep.
Yes. And efficient, reliable.
Safe.
Mine's got a
V8,
and I went to Coquille last year and averaged 32.4 miles to the gallon.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's also one of the scary things about what's coming is self-driving cars and kids who don't want to learn how to drive.
I saw that a long time ago. There's already a learning thing with kids as well.
Yeah.
Just with the technology that's at their hands. And the biggest part I see, that's the biggest issue I see and the problem I have with it, is the sociability of it. Unsocial network.
Right. The whole I'm talking to you, but I have something in my face. Right. Yeah.
In the same room texting. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
But more importantly, there's no touch. There's no feel. There's no compassion. There's no feeling there.
Yeah. Right. So there's no feeling there. You know, Mike, I want to ask you a question about, because I have this vision in the future, and I just said this to my husband yesterday. I said, I am so excited for the day when the transpod, I could just pick up my phone, dial up the transpod, have it pick me up at 9:42 a.m., get in it, take my nap, and wake up in Reno. I'm looking forward to those days. Why are you hesitant about that? Or are you? Did I catch that right?
I'm not hesitant about it, but I think it's not necessarily good for my hobby.
Your hobby, right.
I like to drive.
Yes.
I enjoy it.
Yes.
I like cars. I like fixing up cars. When they take all the fun out of it, when it's just get in and go.
Something about that doesn't appeal to you.
Right. Well, it does appeal to me in that it's easy and I don't have to think about it, but it takes away the enjoyment as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I think about, you know, let's just move back in our minds maybe 150 years before cars were really even around, right? I mean, there were some engines starting to be created and that kind of thing. And all the transportation was horse and buggy. And I got to think there were some kind of buggy clubs, you would think, right? People were getting around and you something. Well,
there were social clubs.
Yeah.
What there was instead of buggy clubs was there was people who wanted to race.
Right.
Race
people
their
still
horses,
race.
Race their buggies.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Then race their cars.
Right.
They had that way back.
Have you
when
guys
the Romans
seen?
Had their chariot races.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
It's been going on for a long time, the competition.
Oh, that. Have you guys seen the drone racing? Have you seen any of that?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Oh, my gosh. There's like, well, I forget what it's called, the IRL, or what is it called, the Industrial Drone League, the IDL, something like that?
I haven't heard of it. I've never.
Oh, my gosh. Go YouTube it and look up drone racing. These guys are phenomenal, and they have all these cameras posted in buildings and stadiums. Like, they'll take a stadium, an empty stadium, and they'll give all these guys drones, and they set them up in these drone thrones, essentially, and they it's awesome. I can't even explain it. So if you're listening in right now on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, you too, go on YouTube and look up this drone racing stuff. I think it's the International Drone Racing League, and it's intense. So, like, guys' drones are they're going up and down and around and through little tiny spaces and then hitting the walls and dropping to the ground, and like, they show the reaction of the guy that's driving the drone. Oh, he's dead. It's awesome. But see, that's the kind of technology that's coming. I mean, if cars go away in the current format that we know them, engines and combustion and pistons and all that kind of stuff, something new would replace it.
No, I understand. I understand.
Something new will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it will be a niche.
Yeah.
It's a niche until it's not.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, what about the electric cars? I mean, think about, well, Tesla is the perfect example, right? And I know some folks drive the Volt. There's a Chevy Volt and a Chevy Bolt. I think there's two separate cars.
Right. Yes.
I'm not sure about that. Is that true?
The Volt is all electric and the Bolt is hybrid.
Okay. And then there's a Honda Civic that's, I don't know if the Honda Civic is all electric, but there's a lot of hybrids on the market
now. Well, there's a lot of hybrids, yeah.
Right. But I know that Tesla, the Model 3, which has become one of the top 10 best-selling cars now, like right now, just in the last couple of days.
Cars, period.
Yeah, cars, period, exactly. Mm. It's in the top 10 of cars being sold. Isn't that a good thing, ultimately, except for your hobby? I mean, Mike, I'm specifically asking you because I think you're kind of a motorhead a bit.
A bit,
is that true?
Yes.
And I think it is a good thing. It's going to improve emissions. Greenhouse gases, it's going to make people better for our environment.
Better for the environment.
However,
yeah.
When a car drives on its own, it takes away that emotional connection.
It's kind of freaky, actually. Have you ever driven in a car when it's driving itself?
I have not.
Have you ridden in one that's driving itself?
I have,
and I'm telling you, it's weird. It's like, it's really weird. Like the whole
Chrysler.
Yeah, the or a Tesla does it too. And they, you know, they come on, and you're supposed to keep
hands
your hands
free.
On the wheel. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you take your hands off the wheel and it'll let you drive like that for a little while. And I'm talking on mountain roads. It'll let you just, it'll do it. It's not a problem. The car's got all the sensors and the cameras and the GPS. I mean, it's got all these things, right? Sensors, cameras, GPS, radar, and then you hope there's a fifth thing in there, like an intelligent driver might be helpful too, right? But it's kind of freaky. It is, and I just, you know, I haven't been real trusting of it when I've been in a car driving itself, like, I don't know, you know, like, what if the car just decides to move over to that lane when there's a car coming right at me? Like, it's weird.
My agreement with what I thought when I saw it a long time ago, when I envisioned it as a child, was cars that were basically they weren't self-propelled.
Yeah.
The roads had a grid in it, and
right.
That grid is what drove the cars.
Like a magnetic grid?
Exactly,
right. Yep.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could control traffic because of that. So you take out the human element,
right.
And that takes out a lot of wrecks,
right.
A lot of exhaust and emissions that come out.
That's kind of a cool concept.
People
Wouldn't
not
it be
driving neat? Like the car is it, our cars can be driven only so efficiently.
Right.
But that's determined by
the driver
for the most
right.
part, right?
Right, yeah.
So if you have a computer system that you can program and say, hey, I need to be here by then, it'll tell you need to leave by this time. And because it knows what's going on. And
right.
there isn't until as long as there's drivers out there
right.
and computer-driven vehicles,
yes,
you're going to have the issue of the human element,
right?
As far as the driving them or navigating, right?
Yep, no doubt.
So once that's all computer, then, or if you have certain roads that are only computer driven. So you take your regular vehicle on there. Once you get on that road,
right,
it takes over.
Right.
And then you get off the highway per se, or whatever
right,
you want to call
on,
it.
Sort of, yeah.
And then you're back,
you're
on,
back
your own
on your
again,
own. Yeah.
And you can stop where you want. And,
yeah.
You know, and if you want to get off the main highway,
yes,
in the middle of your route that you've got planned, you just push a button that says exit, and it
right.
just exit you off at the next exit, and then you're on your own again.
You know, I kind of like that idea. And I feel like the Tesla truck at some point will probably be the first drone truck. Like, there's going to be drone trucks, right? There will be. There's no doubt about it. We already have drone deliveries of packages from Amazon in certain cities. It makes sense that there would be probably at some point drone trains. Like, why would we pay for humans to be the error, the margin of error, especially if we had, like you're talking about, a smart system that's built in, that's all electronically guided and monitored and all of that stuff. I mean, we're talking way futuristic stuff. But hey, we were all kids in the 50s and 60s, you know, we all saw Dick Tracy talking into his watch and thinking,
oh, yeah,
how cool was that? And, you know,
yeah,
Get Smart talking to his shoe. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Come on. That's all real now.
Well, that's how it starts.
That's how it starts. It starts with imagination.
Starts
right?
with the imagination. Exactly.
Yep,
so it is human. It is human driven at the base of it. And I think there's a lot of concern in some fields that the technology will take over.
Yes.
There's that fear.
Right. The
it's
whole
a human,
big brother.
It's a natural human
right.
thing to have that fear. It's built
I
into
robot.
Us. It was created by, in my opinion, by our creator, that we have that fear, and there's a reason for it. And so, but there's founded fear and there's unfounded fears in
yeah.
the technology, in my opinion.
What do you think about that, Mike? You think there's, you think people have sort of a built-in fear of technology?
Of course.
Yeah.
People have a built-in fear of the unknown.
Yes.
Yes.
And technology pushes the unknown every day.
Right.
Yes, it does.
We have
oh
a foldable
gosh, right.
phone now.
Right.
Yeah.
The screen folds up. Right. And magazines that can do the same thing. Like right. magazines, like literally that you could close the magazine and then the next day open it up and the new information uploads into the magazine. Like, what? What? Foldable ink papers? That's crazy and awesome.
Right.
It is kind of weird, though. I agree with you. You know, people are afraid of the unknown, and yet we're the creators of that stuff.
Yes.
We're the ones that are making it.
Yes.
Well,
our race is.
Not all of us are creators.
True that.
But most of us are consumers.
That's exactly mm-hmm. it. And we don't know most of the time, you know, how much these things can do for us.
And we all buy the newest cell phones. And
most of us
do,
yes.
The newest cars.
Absolutely.
I love my push button start in my Camaro.
Yeah.
And the Apple CarPlay and the Android Auto.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You love all of those things. Yeah, it's crazy because we could be afraid of technology, or we could embrace it and say, how can it serve us, right?
Right.
How can we use it to make our lives better? Hey, I know that there's a technology that I think is really cool. I think it's down at the Husqvarna dealer on 101 in Harbor. I don't know the name of that business.
The Cree Equipment.
The Cree Equipment. I think they have an iRobot mower outside. They do.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, you just go by and there's the mower out there mowing. Like, that's kind of cool technology.
Dogs.
Yeah, well, the dog's going to get out of the way, you know, but that's kind of neat. And then the other technology that we, you know, don't think about a lot, but is really here now in a big way. All the stuff that's integrated, whether you have Alexa in your house or you've got a smart fridge that's paying attention to barcodes as stuff comes in and out and kind of sends a shopping list to your phone. Hello, that's all super stuff that's taking care of business, your own phone.
Yeah.
I mean, your phone has more technology in it, supposedly, than the Apollo 11, you know, spacecraft that went up. Come on, that's a big
deal. That's kind of mind-boggling.
That was 5 years ago.
Right, that was 5 years ago, right. Not Apollo 11, but the strength of the phone.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Well, technology's awesome. I'm curious, come back to the electric car topic for me for a second. And then, Curtis, I want to ask you about your first car, because I failed to ask you that earlier. So electric cars, what do you think about, we touched briefly on hydrogen. Why has electric outpaced hydrogen in your opinion? And I know you're not a technologist and this isn't what you do for a living, but I'm just car talk stuff.
I think it's infrastructure.
Mm.
It's easy to put in an electric charging station because we already have the electric infrastructure.
Oh, the grid is here.
The grid is here.
Right. That makes sense.
However, to extract the hydrogen to make it safe because hydrogen is explosive.
Oh, right. It's a gas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, they compress it into a liquid and then it, like propane.
Like propane.
Right.
So you have, do you mine it? Is that how you get hydrogen? Do you know?
No, you can take it out of water.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's why when you're done with a, see, I know just enough to be dangerous, but I know at the end of hydrogen fueling, all that comes out of the car is water.
That's correct.
That makes sense. Okay.
Hydrogen, H2O.
H2O, right.
Hydrogen is the H.
Oh my gosh, H2O, oh my, I wish I would have thought about that. I'm telling you, I learn a ton in this right. program. It's awesome. Now, Curtis, I got to go backwards because I really want to know, what was your first car? You're a motorhead too, you're a gearhead, you're a car guy.
I am actually. I started off as a kid, as most of us did, with a bicycle.
A bike, of course.
That was my first love, and my friend and I, we would ride our bikes every day, and his older brother came home from Vietnam, and he bought a Monte Carlo, and he and I would wash his brother's Monte Carlo whenever he wanted us to, because it was just so cool. We'd get to ride in the back seat in it, and it was just...
You're like, we'll wash it.
It was like, and we would wash our bikes and shine up our rims and shine up our... We both had nickel-plated frames.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we had really nice bicycles.
Right.
And so we always said, I can't wait. I wonder what kind of cars we're going to have when we get older. I said, I don't know, but they're going to be pretty cool.
They're going to be shiny. They're going to look good.
Then when I got a Volkswagen for my first car, I didn't care what kind of car it was. I basically had a vehicle
I
could go. It gave me that freedom.
Right. Yes.
That as I watched when my father lost his license because of strokes.
Yes.
And he couldn't drive anymore. I watched what it did to him.
Yeah.
And it really gave me a new appreciation for the ability and for the privilege of being able to drive.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I got a Volkswagen. My mother gave it to me. It was a 1966 Volkswagen.
Thanks, Mom. What color was it?
It was a beige color. It was
cream. Oh, I remember those. Yeah. They were sweet cars.
Yeah, and it was awesome. But unfortunately, my first day I got my license, my mom had told me when I went to the DMV, and she said, okay, now when you get done with the test, you know, I'm going to leave, and I'm assuming you're going to pass. If you don't pass, call me. Otherwise, if you pass...
Find a payphone and call
exactly.
me.
Right. Yeah, well, there was payphones at the DMV, so...
Right, because there was no cell phone. It wasn't like you could just text
Absolutely. Yeah. I was 16, so it was a while ago.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, so that first day, I got my license, and she said, be sure, before you leave the DMV, that you call the insurance company so they can add you onto my policy. Well, I didn't do that.
Oh,
and,
no.
Unfortunately, I went and picked up my girlfriend. We were driving on
some back
streets.
You had priorities, after all.
Absolutely.
Right?
I wanted to go get my girl. I was so proud and so excited.
Right, got my license, going to get my chicky-poo, yeah.
We got in a wreck. It was a small wreck, but it was a wreck nonetheless. And I called my mom, of course, and from a neighbor's phone that was near where we got in the wreck, because, again, there was no cell phones.
Car totaled.
No.
Just
wasn't.
Beat up.
Even though
good.
I hit an Olds 98, which is a
gosh.
Big car, and
yeah.
I was in that little bug.
Yes.
It just smashed the front end in a little bit, and my girlfriend's head hit the windshield.
Oh, man.
Didn't crack the windshield. Didn't hurt her anything more than, you know,
just,
ouch.
Yeah, kind of a bump and enough.
Yeah,
a
it was
bump,
enough to go.
A personal bump to go, yeah, that wasn't smart.
So anyway, but that was my first experience with driving my own vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, after that, my mother said, you know what, I'm going to get this car repaired, but... You can't drive it anymore, and if you want a car, you're going to need to raise money,
gotta buy one.
Earn money,
work,
and buy your own, and I think that'll help you to appreciate it a little bit more.
Good form.
Than just being given to you. So I did that, and I bought a Ford Falcon, a 1962 Ford Falcon with
cool.
a brand new rebuilt 289 motor in it, three on the tree.
Oh, I love those cars.
I was excited again.
Yeah. Did you take care of it?
Did you
insure it?
I did.
All right.
I did.
What kind
of car
are you driving today?
It's a Subaru Outback, a 2004. I actually inherited from some folks that I took care of. They left it to me when they passed.
Yeah. And so you're not driving a Camaro, nothing souped up, no racing
stripes. No, it's funny you would say I'm not driving a Camaro because that is my dream car.
That's
it's a
your
1969
dream car?
Z28.
Oh, God, they're beautiful.
That's my car.
Black.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Right? I know. I love that car.
Yeah.
I love that specific car. Yeah. If I was going to get a classic car, it'd be that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm a
That's
Camaro
cool.
lover also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, come on. There's three Camaro lovers in the room. You know, I was thinking about something. This is just interesting. Have you guys gone on the road, gone up 101 where the Husqvarna Slide is? You've seen it, right?
Yes.
Okay, you've seen it. So did you see it when it was still not paved? So it was dirt. You had to go by the dirt?
Yeah.
It still is.
No, it's paved now, both directions. But it's not, the road's not done, but there's a temporary paving there.
Well, there's rocks and dirt from the last time I went up
there
2 weeks ago.
There's temporary paving there
now. So now there's paving over it?
There's temporary paving there now.
So yes, I did see it before they did any of that.
Well, it's kind of funny. We're driving by it, just recently, and I'm like, oh, look, honey, there's the old road. Because you know how you drive by, right? You always think about the old road. Do you guys think about the old road when you're driving down 101 or down on Highway 1 or whatever, just wherever you are, do you notice the old road? I'm curious.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
I do too. And I bet most of us do.
And if you go further north, north of Gold Beach, if you look off to the right, you can see where the old road was. Mm-hmm. And it's all fallen in and sunken.
It's trippy, isn't it?
Just went around it.
And south as well. South is great. There's a big bridge that they put through about that bypass put through a couple years back.
Oh, yeah. You can see the old road. Well, this is the part that kind of trips me out. If you think about where did the roads originate, they originated with the Native Americans, right? They originated with someone walking, right? There was a path. And then probably someone had a horse, and then the path got a little bit bigger. And then someone got a buggy and with that horse, and so it got a little bit bigger. And then they got cars. And you probably know this. Both you guys probably know this and can school me on it. Someone told me that the car axle is designed to be the same, originally was designed to be
the same width as the buggy.
Is that true?
It is.
It is. Was that because of the path, right? The trails.
That's right.
They had to accommodate.
And then the reason that the reason that we drive on the left-hand side is because that's how they delivered packages out of the
back of the buggies?
From the one side of the wagons.
Oh, my gosh.
And then in England, they delivered from the other side of the wagons.
So that just sort of started that process.
That's why the side of the street. I did not know that.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to know that. Well, so then there was the car trail, and now we have our freeways and everything, but it all came back to the foot trail, to a human being who was walking along. Did you guys know that there was a plank road? Plank. This blows me away. This is really fun. There's a Wikipedia about a plank road from Crescent City to Grants Pass.
Wow, I did not know
I mean, could you imagine that? We get on 199, we're like, it takes 2 hours, and we bitch about it. There's, there's the narrows and there's old ladies and there's motorhomes and stuff, but there used to be a plank road. Like, I can hardly wrap my noggin around that.
That reminds me of, as a kid, we used to go and hike up in the hills above Los Gatos, California.
Yes.
And there was a flume up there that was covered with boards,
right?
For the water to
Did
go
you
through.
Ride it?
We would walk along
the top
that
of the flume. Yes.
And in places it was broken away and missing, we'd have to hike up on the hill and go back down to it.
Oh,
but
right.
As a kid, that's one of the things we used to love to go do. And it went from Los Gatos to the dam in fast passed all the way, almost all the way to Bear Creek Road.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We rode the flume. It was so stupid, but there was a flume along Interstate 80 along the Truckee River. I was like, 19, 20. I'm like, let's go ride the flume. How fun would this be? And so Gary and I did it. And later in life, we're like, dang, a log stuck sideways in there or nails sticking out from the inside. I mean, you're like literally in the water. It's fun. It's a log flume ride. You're in the water traveling along and dumb. Not very smart. Do you ever do anything dumb like that, Mike?
Not at all. We did miss one link in that chain. Is the railroad.
Yeah.
And the streetcars that the auto industry killed
all that time ago.
China's got a huge high-speed rail system that we don't have in the U.S. They're trying to get one in California, but they're having problems with funding.
Yeah. And it's just so crazy to think that all that time ago, those systems existed. Yes, there would be out of date now, but had they continued in place, we would have upgraded and changed with the technology and the
exactly
society as it goes. It's kind of crazy.
I used to think about that the first time I went to Disneyland and went on the monorail.
Oh, the monorail was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really neat.
I went back since and it's like, really? This is all this is? This is kind of small and But it's still, I remember riding as a kid again on BART, on the Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Yes.
Electric vehicles,
yeah.
Electric trains that went on the monorails that went above, you know, elevated.
Yep.
And we'd ride every year. We'd go to concerts and we'd go from, you know, we'd have to drive to Fremont to the nearest station. Well, now you can ride a light rail train, which is basically not a subway, but a cable car, from downtown San Jose or even as far as Morgan Hill, from what I understand.
Yeah,
now.
You can
and
take it so, way
yeah,
down.
Yeah, the mass transit has really come a long ways in the big cities.
Right.
Living in a small town here, you know, most of us come from those areas.
Right.
But some have not.
Right.
I always like to talk to people that are in their 90s and, you know, people that are much older than I am and get their input on, because they've seen a lot more than I
have. Yeah, they have so much wisdom to share with us.
I like to ask old people, did you ride a bike when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I rode bikes and you know, where did you go? Did you ride just, you know, did you ever go off the trail? Because I come from another industry, which was the mountain bike industry.
Right.
And so we made suspensions for full suspension mountain bikes in the early 90s when they were first putting suspensions on bicycles.
Yeah.
In mass quantity.
Yes. So. Biking is fun. You know,
yeah.
It's such an easy way to get around, and yet we kind of rely on our cars for everything. I mean, there's a few strategies,
I've
right?
I've got one that hangs in the garage.
You got to buy. Oh, it hangs in the garage. Well, that's great. My husband told me the other day, he goes, well, you know, I went on a short bike ride. It was 16 miles. I'm like, that is not a short bike ride, you know? Like, well, you know, he's kind of athletic.
I upgraded. My bikes all have engines.
See, now look at you, Motorhead. You had to do it. You had to do it.
I had to, yeah.
It's kind of fun. You know, we came here to talk about Curry County Cruisers, which we did, of course. And we talked about the events coming up. We talked about the cruise-ins. We talked about the car show coming up on Sunday, the 26th of May. And that is from 8 to 3 at the Port of Brookings Harbor, right down there. You're not going to be able to miss it because it's a big show. You said 150 to 175 cars?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's a lot of cars. And they're really fun to look at. And not only are they fun to look at, as you were saying, Mike, it's fun to talk to the people who put their heart and soul and their energy into the car. They put their love into it. They shined
it.
They
have albums with them.
And oh,
they show
they
you
do.
Where they came from,
yes.
What they started out as.
I love
before
those.
Before they were restored.
Yeah.
A lot of them have not been restored. There's going to be a few there that are unrestored. We actually
yes.
have a class for that.
Oh, my goodness. That's
those are
be
awesome
fun.
To see. The ones that are unrestored but look like they're like they came off the showroom floor.
Yeah, those are going to be neat. So, well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you again for coming in to see us here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour on KCIW FM 100.7. You know, we have a chance here in the Ocean Mist Power Hour to talk about this great little town, Brookings Harbor, the gateway of the great Pacific Northwest. It's about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. It's the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and as you have discovered today, home to the nicest people you'll ever meet. Where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea, Harbor Brookings is home to me. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time on the Ocean Mist Power Hour.